In this life, there are two ultimate paths. One takes you away from God, and the other guides you directly to Him. And this is the path we're here to talk about. Welcome to Disciple Life.
I think that the foundations today for many in the body of Christ are being eroded. You know, it's just like playing a sport. You know, there's certain fundamentals that you need to have. And you can get out there on the basketball court or something and be doing all this flashy stuff. But if you don't go with the fundamentals, you'll lose.
And you know what's really funny about that? Even professional athletes with the flashy stuff need to be reminded by their coaching staff, hey, you guys need to play fundamentals if you're going to win.
Right.
Flashiness is good, but it's not going to win you the game.
Right. It's an addition. It's
icing on the cake.
Right.
I can't forget how to make the cake.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's why some of the stuff that we talk about, we're going to go around and around with some of those same things because we're talking about many of the fundamentals.
Yeah. Current issues in our society, in Christianity in particular, have stepped off the foundation. They're building on something else greater for in His Word, and they believe it's God's Word. Mm-hmm. Heard a brother say it this morning, you know, when he said he's practicing his confession, or just like...
And when he said confession, he didn't mean a confession of faith as far as, you know, certain things that we would say faith.
Like the Nicene Creed or something.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't that.
He's talking about confessing or... What I hear a lot of young people today, even amongst those that aren't saved as far as Christian, is it's all about manifesting. Yeah, that word is out there big time now. You know, I'm manifesting, or I'm going to manifest this or that.
Or I speak or something.
Yeah, well, and this is old stuff that's just being repackaged for a new generation. You know, before I came to Christ, I was into a lot of New Age stuff and all that kind of whatever I could get my hands on, trying to be spiritual, so to speak. And they had, you know, it was the positive confession movement, and they called it creative visualization, if anybody's old enough to remember that or is in the New Age stuff. And all these things are all about you thinking that you can do things that God alone can do. It's once again, you know, we could take this all the way back to the Garden of Eden and you being promised to get to a level that you shouldn't be trying to achieve because you're not going to be God, and somebody will give you a way to get to another level that's not available to any of us. And so you can confess and decree and declare the future and make it happen.
Yeah.
And James is very clear that you don't even know whether you're going to draw another breath.
Right.
Let alone manifest something or decree something. Only God can decree the future. The future is what it is because God has decreed it in the past.
Yeah.
So it's these are some fundamentals that we really have to, as believers, as Christians, be able to grab hold of and stay with the fundamentals, the foundations, and not get moved off. And those are those foundations that we're talking about come from the scripture. It doesn't come from anyone's private belief system, tradition, denomination, or anything else. It's got to come from scripture.
Or what they're saying daily about themselves.
Right.
You know, the 2 Corinthians 12:5. After Paul has talked about being caught up in the paradise, whether in the spirit or the body, he doesn't know. His comment on that time frame, and even the way he talks about on behalf of such a man, you know, I will boast, but on my behalf, I will not boast except in weakness. So I just think of some of these things that people are doing is almost like a boast. You know, I'm doing this, putting this forward to boast so I can get momentum to go in a good direction. And he's like, you know, I'm gonna boast about my weakness. And then he made it his aim to know Christ and Him crucified. Mm-hmm. I marveled at that for some time to like, okay, where is this going? What is this about? And but I do see such a sharp contrast in things of this culture and what Pong speaks of in those couple of statements.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Huge difference.
Yeah. And I will say this too, that we also have Paul saying to the church, a specific church at a specific time, that I want to share deep things with you, but I can't because you're not mature. He said, I want to give you meat, but you can only handle milk. And we understand the physical analogy that he's given there, you know, where when you have a 6-month-old, you don't give them a steak. You know, they can't handle that. And he's saying in the same sense, spiritually, you can't handle the meat. I can only give you milk. And he tells me, you should be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again. And I think that immaturity in the body of Christ is a problem. And that problem is not solved by another philosophy of mankind or some other technique that's being brought up in the church that mirrors the culture or any of that. Maturity comes through the scripture. He said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by it.
Mm-hmm.
We mature through the word of God, and the word of God can only absolutely infallibly be found in the scripture. That's it.
Yes.
Now, if a preacher, teacher, one of us, whoever is actually giving the truth, it will be because what we're saying lines up with God's word.
Yes.
And I think that that's why talking about what we talked about in the last one, theology is the foundation of your discipleship. It's the guide for your discipleship. As a disciple, your theology matters. And that comes from the scripture. Where else would you get it? Where else would you get an understanding of who God is and who we are as far as God's concerned and what the purpose of this life is and how you respond to God's will in this life? Where else would you get that but from his own word?
Yeah. We began this discussion by talking about manifesting. And when it comes to manifesting, I think that as an idea, as a theological idea, comes from a certain tradition, like a word of faith kind of tradition, and those traditions are not helpful if we think that we're going to manifest things by the words that we speak. Because I've encountered that. I've encountered people who will hear something and say, oh, I don't receive that. Because they're trying to nix the fact that you may have said something that they didn't like.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like every other theological aberration, manifesting is actually it takes something which is true and makes it false. What do I mean by that? There are true manifestations in scripture,
mm-hmm.
right? For example, God is manifested through Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right. It can be argued that when we receive the sacraments, we are receiving a manifestation of God's grace through material means.
Right.
We can see a manifestation of spiritual gifts, which is by the Holy Spirit.
As he wills.
Right?
Right.
However, when humans claim to create reality because of their words, because of something in them or through them, that's where we have to draw the line and say, no, that's not a proper doctrine.
Right. Amen. I like the phrase that you use of it being a theological aberration. It's, and I would go so far as to say a theological perversion. Because a perversion is taking something, as you just said, that has a measure of truth to it, but twisting it in a way that it turns into something untrue. It's a lie.
Something that Satan has been an expert at doing from the beginning.
That's right. And we as human beings become good students of his.
Yes.
And how he twists.
Regrettably.
Yeah. And regrettably.
And we're not supposed to be ignorant of his schemes.
Right. Right. So I think that whenever we're talking about this being disciples of Christ, which means followers, that to follow him was he is the one who defined a disciple. And I think of that in a scripture that people use so often halfway. It's like you quote, even unbelievers quote the scripture when they, in a sense, when they say, well, you know, the truth will set you free. You know, I don't know how many times I heard that before I was even saved. And people usually use that when they're trying to get you to tell the truth, right? So come on, man, the truth will set you free now.
Yeah.
But they don't realize that that is actually a verse of scripture where Jesus is describing what a disciple is or what a disciple is like. And it's in John, the 8th chapter, 31st and 32nd verse. Once I'm not looking at it, where Jesus,
So Jesus, John 8:31, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, or had believed them, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Right. So the truth doesn't set you free in the sense that just telling the truth. The truth sets free the ones who are knowing. It says knowing the truth sets you free. And the only ones who will know the truth, according to Jesus, are those who are truly his disciples. And the only one, go ahead.
I hear it. Go ahead.
The only ones who are truly his disciples are the ones who continue to abide in his word. And the only place I can know for sure that I'll get his word is in what's been recorded, the scripture. So if you follow that right down the line, those who, according to Jesus, abide in his word are truly his disciples. Now, so how can you claim to be following him, to be a disciple of Christ, but go beyond his word or fall short of it?
And, you know, it's interesting because the Apostle Paul in Romans 6:17 and 18, he kind of defines what it means to be set free. Because he talks there about, he says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Verse 18, and having been set free from sin, has the freedom.
Freedom
from sin. We have instead become slaves of righteousness.
Yeah. Yes. Right. And that's, again, it is very important when we talk about these things to get our definitions correct.
Yeah.
Because when you take something and make it mean something else, then the whole conversation gets thrown off, no matter how long the conversation is. So you just define what it means to be free. And that's in fact what Jesus was saying to the Jews.
Yeah.
He said that he would make them free, that they would be free. And they were offended because they said, what do you mean free? We're not slaves to anyone.
We're Abraham's offspring.
Yeah.
And never been enslaved to anyone. Boy, they forgot Egypt and they forgot
the Romans at that period.
The Babylonians and the Assyrians. And
the Roman soldier right there.
But they're claiming freedom, and that's not what Jesus was talking about at all. And it's not many times what people are talking about today when they're talking about freedom from lack. And lack is about health or about money or about all these other things. And the freedom that Jesus purchased for us is that we should always be rich and in great health, you know. And this is where a lot of the manifesting stuff comes from, and decree and declare and all that kind of stuff. But what you just laid down was that from God's perspective, freedom is from sin.
Yeah. Jesus goes on in John 8:34 to say, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's, again, the importance of getting our definitions from God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned, Kevin, something that has has been a great influence. It's, like I said before, I think a lot of stuff is just repackaged old stuff that's been repackaged for a new generation. You mentioned the Word of Faith, a tradition. And the Word of Faith tradition is something that is as old as the Garden of Eden, but in our day, and it really took off in the way it is today in the 20th century, coming up from the early 1900s of anybody. And I know, Kevin, you're a great student of church history. A lot of my understanding of things has been based on my own research because of I came out of the Word of Faith tradition. And then later on began to research, well, how did this start? Where did it start in our modern day? And you find people that began to talk about manifesting your own future and declaring. It was called different things at the time. Some people flippantly called it name it, claim it, you know, and things like that. But it basically still comes down to you being able to do things that the scripture says only God can do. That's what it comes down to. And so in that sense, it is as far back as the Garden of Eden, just being repackaged for a generation. And so if we go to God's word, as Jesus said, if you're my disciples, it's because you abide in my word and you don't go beyond that word, as the apostle said, then we're going to look and see what it really means to what decreeing and declaring really is. It's something that God does, not something that you can do.
Right.
The scripture says that he is the one, and I think this is in Hebrews, when it talks about faith, it says that he is the one, God is the one that calls those things that are not as though they were. All right. So it doesn't exist, but he calls it into existence. But that says God does that. That doesn't say that we do that.
That's
doesn't say we have any capacity to do anything like that. Yet you have large numbers of believers, probably in all denominations today, because this has been so infectious, that believe that they have some control over their circumstances beyond the normal control that God gives us over our circumstances.
And you know what that causes is a lot of anxiety.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, speaking from my own experience, if I'm facing something, a problem, a trial, whatever, and somehow in my mind, I think that somehow I could control it or change it or help it, or, well, I'm going to be wringing my hands, wondering what it is I should do, what steps I should take, how I should approach it. But, you know, when I realize that really God's in control,
there you go.
I don't need to do any of that. I just need to rest in his grace and trust in his plan for me.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
I'd like to bring up a small point. Right above where you were reading in John 8:31, Jesus is speaking to the Jewish people there. And he said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing from myself, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. So here we go again, where the scripture has been given, and this doing and speaking nothing unless it's in the Word of God, you know. And what a great example for us. You know, even where it says later on in the New Testament, learn not to go beyond the things that are written. We don't have any example of any apostle or anyone in the New Testament doing any of these things that we're describing here that currently are being in our culture, heard about so often that should never be.
Yeah. And it might be good at some point, maybe in a future episode, God willing, that we talk about some of the ways that scripture has actually been twisted or abused in a way to make it say something that actually is not saying, to prop up some of these false traditions that we have today.
Yeah.
It would be good to do that, because I think that you see the influence of some of these what I would call perversions, theological perversions, or as you said, aberrations, things that people are taking as being the truth, even from God's word, that's just not true. And isn't it something that it really does come down to the issue of control? I think it really comes down to the issue of control. Even when it comes to the unbeliever, what is it that God has such a problem with us as when we're unbelievers, or with the unbelievers that are in the world today? What is it that's so such a problem is that they do not credit God with being the one who is responsible for all the things that they have in their lives for their very existence. The scripture says in Romans, the first chapter, they did not acknowledge him as God, and neither were they thankful.
Right.
It's like there's no thanksgiving because they won't acknowledge God as the one who is in control.
Yeah.
And so because of that,
he turns them over and let them do the things they ought not.
He turns them over. And you think about the fact that if you did something for someone, you were responsible for everything that they had. And then later on, they refused to acknowledge that you had anything to do with it. They just, you know, what are you talking about? It's not that God has an ego that can be bruised. He doesn't need us to prop him up. Praise and worship is not about us making him great. It's about us acknowledging the truth. And it's only through acknowledging the truth that you can have the relationship with God that God wants you to have. You can't get it any other way. You can't build a relationship on a lie.
In his image and likeness, right there, we were made. In Satan's lie?
No. That's not how it's done.
He's for trying to prevent you from being
right.
What you should be.
God-like.
Want to be in his image and likeness? Do this. Disobey him.
Yeah.
And what is it? And I think this is another place where we could talk about this at some point, but what is it that Satan uses? What is his greatest weapon? Or maybe his only weapon is the lie. Jesus said he is the father of lies. He's the inventor of lies.
He speaks out of his own resources when he does it.
That's right. It's his nature to lie. And none of us should ever assume that he's not good at it. You know, we know him. We can pick that out.
No, you can't. You can't, because I think we've mentioned this before on a prior podcast. What the disciple needs to do is not to be able to tell the true from the false. The disciple needs to learn how to tell the true from the almost true.
Right. Yeah, right. Right.
Which is a subtlety.
Right.
And that kind of expertise, as it were, only comes by the development in us through, you know, the study of scripture and doing those things that a disciple would be doing.
Abiding in his word and believing him.
Yes.
Yeah. And the scripture, even though Jesus told the disciples and us in that sense, that when the Spirit of God comes, when we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, which we are, if we're truly, truly born again, says, well, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Without his guidance, you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance of knowing the truth from the false. And the scripture tells us that he will lead you and guide you into all truth and bring all things to your remembrance that I said to you. So once again, this isn't stuff that you just get from the Holy Spirit that's all out there in the ether somewhere. God never said it. You can't find it in the Bible. But he's giving you this download on new revelation that's never before been known. That's just total nonsense.
Well, not only that, it opens you up to a whole world of lies from the adversary.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Its end is death. Good equals faith is damaged, and they are all around us.
Yes.
It is so hard just to hear their stories of, you know, they're believing upon this or that or a third, and it's not found in scripture. And they still are going that direction.
Right.
And you want to talk with them and say, "What here's what the word says." You want to see them restore it to truth. And when they're in that deception and that difficulty of its fruit, and they are disillusioned and they're disgruntled with God and disappointed and everything else, then I think it's really hard to tell them, but they need to be told. You need to repent.
Yeah.
Well, repent of what Scripture says, even though you may have been taught something, it doesn't say it in Scripture. If I could just say one more thing. I remember one time you had said something down at the Trinity House from Bethesda Mission back in the day with the Helmsman program. And it was simply this, does God still speak? And I'll be mentioning that. And as we were thinking things through, there's times where people have been guided by this or that or a third as far as small decisions or whatever. That I remember you saying later on, in particular into something I had shared, because I didn't have something that was grounded in the Scripture when I brought up something that I had experienced. Right, he just said, we always want to look for objective truth in Scripture so that others can go and do the same. That's what we need. We always want to point to the Scripture. And that has been such a great help for me, combined with, you know, he will remind us of all things he's spoken. And I just praise God for that adjustment that was needed.
Yeah. Well, it comes down to some, as we said, there's foundations that we should be, as disciples, we should be on those foundations, building on those foundations. And one of them is truth is not invented.
Amen.
It is discovered.
Mm.
Because the truth is true before we got here. It'll be true when we're gone. Truth is established by God, the Creator. That's why Jesus didn't just say, I tell the truth. He said, I am the truth. Because as the Creator, he's the one that laid down reality for us. And you can't know that from within. It comes from without. And truth is objective.
Mm.
You have a subjective experience, but you don't invent the truth. So it's one of those things, again, where we go back to the Garden of Eden. It's the same old, same old, as they say. The devil came and presented them with a rendition of reality that God had not presented. That's not what God said.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, well, nah, it's not like that at all. It's really like this. And then he even impugned the character of God, saying God is just trying to withhold you getting to the next level. You need to do this for your own sake. You need to take control of this situation. If you want to be better, this is what you need to do. Exact opposite of reality as God had laid it out. And that's the same challenge we have today. Whose rendition of reality are you going to base your faith on?
This is one of the problems with the postmodern mindset that we, you know, there are levels of truth or truthiness. and your truth might be true for you, but not for me. And my truth could be true for me, but not for Randall. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is just part of the deception, because truth is truth for everyone.
Right.
And God has made reality a certain way. And we need to tune into that reality if we're going to be effective disciples.
Right.
We can't be swallowing the world's philosophies. We can't be swallowing the lies of Satan. We can't be swallowing things that we think might be good for us when they're not confirmed by the word. That's not what the disciple does.
Right.
He does all things by faith. Otherwise, it's sin.
The truth is declared by the one who made things the way that they are, not by those of us who are here and experience it. It's by the one who made it. It's the same thing as a car. The manufacturer of the car tells you what goes in the tank.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. At gas prices, many times, water, a gallon of water is a lot cheaper than a gallon of gas. It's just that simple. And if I put water in the tank, it will move the needle. it will seem to put that I have a full tank. But try running it on that. It they tell you what material goes in, and if you don't use it that way, you will ruin it. It won't work. And that's the same thing with life.
And that's the same thing with the Bible. Just like you can, you know, open your glove compartment and pull out your car's owner's manual, the Bible is our owner's manual. It's the manufacturer's instructions to the creation on how things ought to work and will work if you follow this way of living.
That's right. Right.
And so many of us choose not to. And then wonder, why aren't things working out for me? You know?
Well, sadly, many have been taught to do that. Many have been taught to receive revelation about reality that does not come from the scripture. And we can look over and over again in the scripture, and all we will ever find is the prophets, Jesus himself, and the apostles taking you back to what has been written, what God has put down on record, and telling us that this is where your freedom is. This is where your instruction is. This is how you become a disciple. This is how you mature as a disciple of Christ. And if you go beyond this, you're definitely going to corrupt what you call faith. And you're going to have experiences that have nothing whatsoever to do with God, but all to do with you going off track.
Yeah.
I think that there's a couple areas where it might be good. It might be good for us. We could think about this to talk about specific things that are hindrances to the faith today and how scriptures are being misused and maybe set to record straight. And I know a lot of people are doing it. I'm thankful for that. You know, everybody got their hat in the ring on this one, because as many places as we can show what God's word actually says, as opposed to what people say it says, that would be good for anybody that's trying to follow Christ. So, I don't know. I think we probably beat that one up today. I hope that people who are listening to us realize that there will be times when we'll be talking about things that will be very edifying and very positive sounding and encouraging. And then there'll be other times where we'll have to talk about things that might not be sounding so positive and
that's what corrective in that sense. That's it. That's I was about to say. The pastor has two voices, one with which to call the sheep and the other one with which to drive away the wolves. Today's discussion is our attempt to help drive away the wolves.
Right.
So if it sounds corrective, receive it in that spirit that we're trying to drive away the wolves.
Right.
From the listeners who desire to be true disciples.
Right. And in that sense, the pastor helps his congregation to be discerning.
Amen.
And discernment is what keeps out the wolves completely. Mm-hmm. Because when you don't hear, and Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. When you're discerning, you can hear the difference, like you said before, of not just truth and error, mm-hmm. but truth and almost true.
Right.
You know, because the deception gets as close to the truth as it can without telling the truth. That's what we have to be aware of. So, all right. Well, hey, thanks again, brothers. This has been good. And I hope anyone listening to this being blessed, edified by it. And God willing, we'll see you again on the next episode. Or we won't see you, but you'll hear us.
Yeah. And we'd love to hear from you if you want to, you know, contact us.
Absolutely.
With a question or a comment, we'd be glad to take it on.
Yeah. God bless.